Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live!
Hell on the Snow Radio!
I'm coming home.
And it's a WrestleMania edition. Dan, you and I have been doing this for quite some time now.
I'm coming home.
That's right. I'm coming home, but Dan...
Is this our fourth year?
Fourth or fifth? I have no
idea,
Dan.
I think it's our fourth. Definitely not our fifth. It's our fourth, then.
It's our fourth?
Hell yeah!
It's our fourth, and welcome to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and you can follow me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is... the above average comedian, Dan the Man Colachico.
Hey! Follow me on Twitter at DanLaw83.
And starting from the very start, yet again, he's making a thing of this.
Freak!
He is completely the opposite of what Mark Thompson was to this show.
What, reliable?
Completely the opposite. I didn't say that. You did.
I did.
But... Omega Squad Chris Green is with us.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sober.
Greetings, people of fur. Yes, I am sober.
I love you, Mark Thompson.
Yes, I love Mark, too. Apparently, he's going to interview Jake the Snake Roberts pretty soon. I don't know what that has to do with rock and roll, but...
Well, didn't he come out with Alice Cooper once 400 years ago?
That's true, so
and
there you go.
What card was that at?
That was WrestleMania 3, Dan, as... He was defeated by the Honky Tonk Man. There was certainly a lot going on in that match, let me tell you. A lot of controversy.
Oh, was there?
Yes. Honky Tonk Man held onto the ropes to secure that win, and probably the most awkward thing of cheating I've ever seen. Now, of course, we are going to be joined by someone else, and I even have his theme music for him.
He's got music.
He has music, Dan.
Source crap.
All the way in the room, it's none other than my broadcast partner. Every third Saturday, sometimes more, it is Brady Hicks. How are you tonight, Brady?
What's going on, Dino? Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
All right. We are doing great. let me get in these plugs first.
Woo-hoo!
You can read the blog, HIACTalkRadio.com. Follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. Like the Facebook. That's facebook.com/sellinahell. Subscribe on iTunes. Search for us on Stitcher. We're even on, like, other stuff that I don't even remember what I signed up to.
Stitcher.
I love the app for Stitcher.
Stitcher's got a great app. You know why I use Stitcher?
Why, Dan?
Other than Hell in the Cell Radio? Kevin Smith uses Stitcher.
That's good to know. I did not know that, Dan. I will now search for Smodcast.
Smodcast. I will be a part of that network yet.
And, of course, we are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. Brady.
Oh, we are?
Yes, we are.
How long has that been?
We've been since our first episode, actually. You know, we swooped in at the right time. We're not going to get into this too much, Brady, but we swooped in right at the right time. There was some stuff going on. Hell in a Cell popped up.
What's the saying? One door closes, another one opens, right?
Or you could just go through the one that closed, because that's how doors work.
Yeah, but I don't want to go back through that door because it was closed to me.
Stop it, Dan. Now,
that really wasn't that funny.
Dan comes on fire every week.
Listen, I'm going to be honest. I've had a couple.
He's had a couple.
Just a couple.
That's great.
You know what, Dan? Let me get it out of the way real quick. Dan, congratulations. I haven't talked to you since the big news.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Yes. The fiancé that lied said that would listen to the show tonight is instead of the corner bar doing trivia with her friend Jennifer in D.C. Thank you very much for not supporting your fiancé. I appreciate that. Kelly. Oh.
Hey, my wife never listens, so you've been doing better than me.
I think Marion's listened to one or two episodes.
Oh, okay, that's normal then. No, I thank you, Brady. I did, what day was it? Last Thursday. I finally got up the gumption and asked my girlfriend to marry me. And she said yes, surprisingly.
Actually, it wasn't Thursday, Dan. It was Wednesday about...
That sure was. It was 2 hours before the show.
Yes.
Dean, what was your reply? Well, that was anticlimactic.
Yeah, it was. He's like, I'm going to ask her in about 2 minutes.
Were there any special stories that went along with it? Like, did you dip the ring in chocolate or put it in a bowl of M&Ms? Or did you order pizza and have it come in the middle? Or
do you really want to hear this? Or
Yeah, sure.
I'll tell you how I proposed to mine when I was.
All right, well, here's the short version, because I don't want to get too personal. No, I didn't mean that grossly. We're both – stop it. We're both counting calories. She's lost 150 pounds. She's my little sneak. But we've been talking about for a week how she wanted – I've had this ring since January. We've been talking about how she wanted a Frosty from Wendy's, that she can't have it because she's got to count her points, blah, 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 and she's – you know, she's diabetic, so she's got to be real careful. Well, she came home, and she told me, okay, I have enough points. I really want my Frosty tonight. I said, okay, I'll go get you a Frosty. The other side note was, we're huge hockey fans. No, no, seriously.
I'm listening.
We're huge hockey fans, and I ordered her favorite jersey, because she's a graphic designer. Her favorite jersey is the Minnesota Wild jersey, so I bought her an authentic with a fight strap. It's a game-worn jersey. So I put it on. I come back in the house with a Frosty wearing this jersey, and I have the ring around the straw of the Frosty. And this is all true. I said to her this haiku I heard once, which was, haikus are easy. Sometimes they don't make sense. Refrigerator. So I got down on one knee. I said, so now that I've said that, will you marry me? And her reply was, can I finish my Frosty first? And
well, that's better than
I said, yeah, sure, sorry. But at least say yes, please. She goes, okay, yeah. And then she had her Frosty, and that's it. So I'm getting married.
Congratulations. What's your story, Brady?
What's your story, Brady? I want to hear this.
Well, you know, I would always take my ex-fiance to this little town called New Hope in Pennsylvania. It's a quaint little town right along the river. And I actually proposed to her on a bridge there. I had a string kind of over the side of the bridge with a card on it. And, you know, when she finished reading the card, I got down on one knee and I proposed.
That's actually really romantic, Brady.
It's really nice.
Thank you, yeah. But you know what? She actually cried and didn't answer me for 10 minutes, so I should have known right then and there that she probably wasn't the one.
You should have done a George Bailey right into the river.
You stole it from me. I was going to ask, did you push her into the river when you were done, when she didn't say yes? That's it. splash.
But that's great, Dan. I mean, that's great that all it cost you was a Frosty and a ring and a jersey.
Yeah, that's actually quite a bit of money, but that's all right. I was only off a size and a half. It's getting refitted right now. We should have it back by tomorrow.
You know what? I kind of like this vibe we got going right now. So, Omega, how did you propose to...
You had to go there.
I did.
You had to go there.
Wait, Omega, Chris, let me know when you're done, because I have a question for Dean.
No, I don't have a nice story for this. It's not a bad story. It's just there's not really a story. We just kind of decided that we were going to get married as a mutual decision, and then it was kind of, I just kind of bought a ring later. I didn't do the whole romantic thing.
Dean.
You had to go there, Dean.
Dean, how did you propose to Marion?
I bought the ring. As we were leaving the establishment, I yelled it out in the parking lot.
Will you marry me?
Yes.
Really? Like that?
Huh. Yes, to embarrass her into an answer that would be positive. Yeah,
I have to admit, I always am a big fan of the stadium proposals, and I always thought it would be kind of funny to do it.
You know what, Brady? You should do it in the wrestling ring if you ever have the opportunity to.
And I hope her name is Elizabeth, too, so I can be like, Elizabeth, will you marry me?
You better be me, Elizabeth, and then I will.
Elizabeth.
I was actually going to ask. I was going to ask Preston and Steve name drop if I could do it on air because they've done it before, but I knew she'd kill me if I pulled that.
It would have been nice, though.
Oh no, she would have hated me. She doesn't like making a big deal of things. She already hates social media, and if I would have done that on air where everybody listening, she probably would have killed. She probably would have said no just to spite me.
That's why you don't ask. You just do it.
You're marrying me. Congratulations, it's a boy.
No, you still ask that, but you don't ask how you do it.
Oh.
No.
I wasn't going to ask her how to do it. I just knew if I did it that way, she'd be embarrassed. I knew that wasn't a good one.
Okay, we do have a caller. I will be getting to them. I'm just letting them know that I see them there. We will be getting to you in just a moment, sir. What was I going to say? Brady, we had quite a weekend this past week. Of course, we called the first Riot Pro show in Ferris Hills, New Jersey. What'd you think, Pennsylvania, rather. What'd you think of that show, first of all?
You know what? I think if I were going to give it a word, I would say innovative at this point. You know, they were willing to try a few different things that I've never seen in a promotion and that I've never seen other promotions do. Things like pushing the bar in terms of gender, having women fight men, things like that.
How impressive was Kimberly? You said the gender thing.
Well, Kimberly was amazing. I've always been a fan of Kimber, but to see her last to the end of a 6-person elimination match, and to give it her all, you know, only to lose to Dragon in the end, I was amazed. And the same can be said for Sammy St. Paul, who actually had her first match on the show.
First match? Now, Dan.
To DJ Hyde.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Now, Dan, her first match ever against DJ Hyde.
Oh.
Now, I'm saying her first. I mean, Sammy St. Paul, my goodness, very impressive. Had the crowd on her side. Wow, Brady. I mean, that was an amazing match, I think, to start off the second half.
And no matter how physical DJ got with her, she just kept coming back for more, you know?
And, of course, she was finished with the lariat.
A glorious arm lariat.
Lariat.
Not a leg lariat, but a... now, some other great action, of course, Joe Gacy winning the main event against Alex Payne, who will be our guest in a few weeks. Now, just the whole thing. And then my favorite match, Brady, and I think it was yours too. I'm not quite sure, but it was. It was Team Business Lunch. That's Xerox, the door-to-door luchador, and Cluck Norris taking on
Cluck Norris. Every time.
Highly entertaining wrestlers.
Who are they?
Well, that's
incredible.
That's Xavier Cross and Drew Blood with Loudy, the Financial Miracle. Now that was a fun match, wouldn't you agree, Brady?
That was an incredibly fun match. It was. They had a little bit of everything. You know, they had comedy. They had serious shoot wrestling. It was just incredible.
Yeah, so a fun card and what's the word? A return date has been announced for May 17th.
May 17th, if you're anywhere near the Fairless Hills area, and even if you're not, you want to make that drive. You want to come out and see the show. It's that good.
And, Dan, you have a shout-out, apparently.
Yes, as my Star Trek communicator goes off around me. I want to shout out a Nashville listener, my Nashville girl, Christina West, who has a lot of friends who are indie wrestling, and she knows a connection to Wolfie D, who used to be in PG-13. Thank you for listening to our show for the first time. We're expanding south, folks.
Now, sounds good to me.
It's Wolfie D. Is that Jamie Dundee, or is that the other one, J.C. Ice?
No.
You know? I don't know either.
What the heck is your question?
Well, I just asked you if Wolfie
D. The not
D,
retarded
that...
one.
The not.
Okay.
I don't know.
But you need to
him.
Clarify.
I don't clarify. I didn't hear your question.
Is Jamie Dundee Wolfie D, or is Jamie Dundee J.C. Ice?
Oh, see, I don't know. I didn't hear your question.
Okay.
I heard it cut out the first time, that's why I didn't understand.
Sorry.
Let me rock a wiki on that one.
Rock a wiki now. On Saturday, Brady, I know that this was revenge, bloody revenge, Loco Pro Wrestling. It was, my goodness, words can't even describe what we witnessed that night, Brady.
Crazy Pro Wrestling, as I'm going to start calling it. Crazy
yeah.
Pro Wrestling.
It was Loco.
From Feasterville.
Now, my favorite match, Brady, was Shaka. Black Magic Shaka taking on Black Dragon. I think they put on a great match there. Told a great story. Wow.
Just a pair of fighters, and they went all at it. You could tell that they were punishing each other.
Yeah, definitely. Now, of course, there's a new Loco champion. That's Ron Starr, and somebody, Brady, crashed his celebration.
Well, you know, that was my favorite match of the night. In fact, I got a couple chuckles out of the locker room because our broadcast partner, Salamander Jones, he referred to Ty Reno as Rocky. And so I relayed the story about how I was in the locker room and I went up to Ty, and Ty is like, "Is there anything special you want me to do for our match tonight?" And I said, "Just win. Just win, Ty." And I told this story on the commentary. The wrestlers in the ring are actually laughing at the commentary because we're on a live mic. So, I thought that was fun. And then of course, after Mac Daddy, Baby Daddy Ron Starr, wins the title, only to be crashed by Dean Dixon.
That's
right.
Of course, we talked about before on the show, when we had Mac Daddy Ron Starr as a guest.
I was going to say, talked about, we were interrupted.
Ozzy called, and we found out later on that it was Oz Taylor. And I brought him out to the ring. Now, Mac Daddy, he has to face his past right now in the present with the future of this business.
Just saying, I should have done privately, but...
You know what? I gave him the chance. I sent him... You heard what I said. I gave him all the information. He never followed up. Oz came to me.
He was busy hijacking a lady.
Yeah, kidnapping Sienna Duvall, God knows what.
What a nefarious person.
He is, isn't he?
He really is. He's kidnapping women, and he's, just procreating and then go, "Not my kid."
Exactly.
You know what? I agree with you, Dean. Screw that guy.
He
you know
took
what
Sienna
else?
Duvall's shoes.
What is up
Who
with that?
Who does that?
I wouldn't smell her shoes.
Well, Mac Daddy did, and he seemed to like it. But that's neither here nor there. I don't think it made the DVD. So
it's other things.
There was something going on. Now I'm going to bring on our first caller, and I believe it's one of Brady's biggest fans.
Oh, no.
John from Rhode Island, how are you?
Oh.
Hello. How are you, radio host of the year?
I'm the radio host of the year because you're upset with Brady. Do you two want to hash this thing out? Go ahead. We have a little bit of time.
Go ahead,
we have to put a bonus match at WrestleMania this year.
What? No, we're not talking about WrestleMania right now. I want to know what's going on with you two. How about you guys clear up the air and figure this thing out?
I think he was trying to be funny, Dean.
Come on.
If I was calling in to your show, Brady, go on, Ray. Talk about something random. John, how big is Batista's dick? You got to come up with all these random things.
He didn't ask you that.
You have to allow him to say all these random things.
Ray is a random person. I don't think he, you know, is firing all thrusters, and that comes from me.
Have you ever heard Ray talk to me? Come on,
Ray,
John. I mean, listen,
dick.
John, he didn't ask you how big Batista's dick was. He asked you who you like better, Heathcliff or Garfield. That's
a reasonable question. All these random things that are not even mentioned in the whole show since it started.
Hold on a second.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
I mentioned it in the description. I obviously liked it.
Excuse me. The person who's the co-host has something to say. Dean, how come you're not yelling at them for saying a bad word?
I'm just going there myself.
Go ahead. I want to get to the bottom of this. That's why.
I'm sorry. Your dick's bad? Our dick's bad? I'm sorry.
Apparently, Batista's dick is bad.
Oh, okay.
God,
apparently, Batista's dick is good.
That's three times!
So poor Ray.
He asks John who he likes better, Heathcliff or Garfield. Seems like an innocent enough question to me.
I just spit my soda all over the floor.
It seems innocent, sure.
He even brought up Scat Cat from the Paula Abdul video.
That's why you guys were posting that. See, I didn't want to listen to the episode. I knew you were going over WrestleMania, and I wanted a fresh perspective.
Okay. No, I did.
I have to say, I did not expect an MC Scat Cat reference on this episode.
I love Scat Cat. Hey, so for what it's worth, John. So John, are you there?
That was a WCW reference.
Okay, John, listen. Your problems between, and I tell this to Dean all the time. Your problems with Ray, they're not your problems with me. So let's not have a feud over your feud with my friend.
Go punch Ray in the face. It's easy.
I want you to go to Indiana and punch Ray in the face. That would be funny.
Well, no wonder he talks so much smack. He's in Indiana.
Sure. I mean, he was talking smack on Palpadon.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if you know this, but when you do that, he smacked you. How's your
Hey, John.
Feel?
That's why everyone knows, like, he's way and he's gay.
Well.
I didn't get most of that. I'm sorry.
There's nothing wrong with that anyway.
That's
you know?
Normal, by the way, Dean.
Yeah. So, John, listen. Have I told you lately that I love you?
Jesus Christ.
Shut
Have
up.
I told you? There's no one else above you.
Okay. We're getting a little off. Right.
So that's for you, John. That's for you.
Crack here. Now, John, what match are you most looking forward to, John?
Every match are the ones I can remember I've seen, like, last week. But only thing is just Triple H, Brock Lesnar, and Undertaker, of course, against CM Punk.
Okay, so Undertaker, CM Punk, that's the match you're forward to. Now, what do you think is going to happen in that?
I think this is just probably since WrestleMania 14, since someone's had a manager outside when Paul Bearer was on Kane's side that time. Like, this will be a long time since we had someone with a manager outside, and I believe Paul Heyman's going to be outside there. So what's going to be happening? Holding Undertaker's leg to break the streak? By getting CM Punk to get the three count?
Could be.
I don't know.
Or disqualification, I'm thinking.
I say Punk's going over.
I don't think clean. I think by DQ.
Oh no no, I don't. I didn't think clean, but I think he's going over.
No no, I have
well, no way.
You have to have the most respected person in the whole company that's been there for years to get that undefeated streak at the grandest stage of them all for his award.
See, this is why I wish Kelly was on the line, because she made a very good point about this, how
well,
she believes. No, she'll get on later. I'll let her explain it.
Well, no, go ahead now. We're talking about it now.
She's very eloquent with it. She was making an assumption. She doesn't know, obviously. She's saying that he might be a guy who he respects that much with what he's done and how he's done it, that he would let him go over, whether it was clean or not.
Well, they don't respect each other, though, Dan. There was heat between Undertaker and CM Punk a few years ago.
Okay. A few years ago. That could change.
And that's the problem. Like,
that
don't
is
forget,
a problem,
I beat you for the title in 2009 at Hell in a Cell.
I think he's
going
over.
They don't bring back memories anymore.
Memories?
This is huge. They're going to face the rest. We've never seen a match between them. And I said this Wednesday. Same thing with Triple H. They never brought back memories when they fought in 2011.
You know what? We did. Actually, John brought that up last night, and we spent like 45 minutes talking about it on In the Room. Some of our favorite memories, because they just don't have memories in WWE like they used to.
Fucking crazy.
Now, what I would like to know, John, Dan has a question for you.
I'm probably going to get yelled at for this, but I do want to know, John and Brady, how big is Batista's dick?
As long as a hose.
And you know what, Dean? You should be proud. He did come up with an answer.
He did.
He did.
John, I'm going to put you back on hold if we get something more interesting.
Oh no!
For you,
he's going to get mad.
We make sure we won't bring you on.
Stop it. Are you trying to be Ray tonight?
No,
is
I'm
that
kidding.
What you're trying to do?
I'm just kidding, John. I'm having a bit of fun.
Yeah, a bit of fun. A bit of fun.
I'm just having a bit of fun.
You know what, guys? If you're talking about The Undertaker and CM Punk, I don't know if this is the spot on the show where you really want to get in detail about it, but I couldn't agree less with what you were saying, Dan, about The Undertaker respecting Punk and being willing to lose the streak to him.
Kelly,
I couldn't agree less.
I'm going to throw her under the bus on that one.
Well,
okay.
I'm thinking that it would be a...
What?
If he does go over, it's some bad finish.
Oh, they're cheating. Oh, yeah. But it's going to go in the history books that he lost, and the streak is over. I think Punk's going over, and the streak is over. I'm guessing. It's 50-50, folks.
It would certainly be solidified, CM Punk's heel stature, if he did win.
I mean, after Monday night. If he went over, holy crap.
Go ahead, Omega.
I'm going to take the other side. I don't think Taker's losing this. I think Taker is going to retire undefeated at WrestleMania. Just because I think that's his thing now. I don't think they want to say, they don't want the streak to end because, let's face it, there could be a DVD someday down the road where it's all 21 wins or something like that.
They already have it.
They already have that DVD.
Yeah. Nah, it's a re-release. No, I'm saying they could have it all. I know there is one.
They're gonna have it on. They're gonna have it on.
They have it again. You know.
They're gonna have it on Green Ray.
Green
Ray. I'll put it this way. There's not much of a difference in my mind between 20-0 and 20-1. And they might be thinking
120 matches.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps what creative could be thinking. Why do you think that this assumption is wrong, Brady?
It's just an assumption.
Let me preface this by saying that I do think that the only real value in having this streak, this undefeated streak, is that if he loses, it's a chance for someone else to build a legacy off of.
That's what I mean.
Now, with that said, CM Punk's been in WWE almost 10 years now. I don't envision him around in another 5 to 10. I think if they were going to give up the streak, It will be to someone who will be around for 20 years. It will be to somebody who's some young, hungry monster who can build a legacy off this and maybe even have a streak of his own. That's the only way to do it. And right now, there's nobody in WWE that's positioned that way. I think it's a shame for Punk that he drew the short end of the straw, that now he has to lose this year at WrestleMania to The Undertaker. But I hate to break it to you guys. There's nobody on the horizon that WWE has prepared to be the one to take that streak.
You know,
there's nobody.
I don't know that recent history would tell you that they will ever have anybody in that position.
You know, Brady,
I mean, you know what? I've given it a lot of thought the last couple of weeks, and there were two, maybe three times in the history of the streak that I really thought that there was a legitimate chance. The first one was when Randy Orton was the Legend Killer, and he took on The Undertaker, WrestleMania 21. And it was an incredible match, and it made so much sense for Orton to win that. That's his entire gimmick at the time was he's the Legend Killer. And I don't think it would have hurt The Undertaker to lose to him there. The other one that jumps out at me was the first time that he fought Shawn Michaels, because that match was incredible, and it was built around the whole idea that Shawn just kept fighting and wouldn't give up, and no matter what The Undertaker threw at him, he was kicking out. And it just seemed to me like it would have been a fitting ending, even though it breaks my rule about building the legacy around it.
You know what, Brady? Act like you write for a reputable source or something.
Brady knows right. his stuff. He is, of course. Brady, where are you a contributing writer?
Well, I'm a contributing writer for Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Yes.
Yeah.
God darn. My what? Speakers just fell over. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't think it's not that bad.
Yeah. It all just crashed to the ground.
For the record, the third time was when The Undertaker took on Edge, and Edge was technically undefeated at WrestleMania 2.
That's true.
Although I didn't really think that that was going to end that way, but yeah.
No, sorry, Brad. I didn't mean to cut you off on that.
That's okay.
Okay, we might as well get into the card now because we started off with a hot one there. Now, tons of fun! Brodus Clay and Tenzai.
Ugh.
And the Funkadactyls.
The what-a-dactyls?
Funkadactyls.
Okay, pronounce that N.
Cameron and Naomi taking on Team Rhodes Scholars and the Bella Twins. I am going with tons of fun.
When is tons of fun going to bring back Funk Flash?
I'm going with tons of fun.
Tons of fun.
How about you, Dan?
I type tons of fun.
Brady?
Funk Flash.
Now I'm going the other way. I think Rhodes Scholars have been like MVPs of sort for WWE in the last year, and I think at WrestleMania, that's the time of the year when you really want to award MVPs who aren't named CM Punk or
Will this be a dark match anyway?
No, it's not.
It's actually not. Yeah, I think the Rhodes Scholars are going to win. The Bellas are back. They want to get behind them. I expect one of them will be a champion eventually, and it just makes sense to me for the bad guys to win here.
Omega,
I'm going to agree with Brady.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm going to agree with Brady. I think that I think it's Rhodes Scholars' turn. I don't think WWE is that behind Tons of Funk, and I think they're good as fill a calm role that they seem to enjoy for some reason. I think it's time for Rhodes Scholars to pick up a win and then hopefully contend for the tag titles.
Or
something else.
And we can all hope and pray that the Dancing Mamas come back too, I was going to say.
I hope so. That was the highlight of last year's show.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Now, Chris Jericho taking on Fandango.
I'm going to punch you.
I'm going with Fandango.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think this is a Fandango win.
Brady?
Yeah, you know, when WWE, when Chris Jericho came back, it's been pretty clear these last couple runs that he's only there to help make future stars. They tried to do it with Dolph Ziggler last year, and I think they're going to try and do it again with Fandango. He's clearly a guy that they're trying to get behind, and so the big WrestleMania win in his debut only makes sense.
And Omega.
Yeah, as much as I don't want Fandango to go over, I think he will. I don't think he, even when he, this finally makes debut to lose, even to Jericho. I don't see it happening.
All right. Here's a big one. Here's a big one. No holds barred match. Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman taking on Triple H with Shawn Michaels, the part-time wrestler. If he loses, he has to retire full-time, I guess. I am going to go with Triple H because he has a large ego. Dan.
You stole my line. Damn you. I'm not even kidding. Triple H, because his ego is as big as his nose.
Brady?
Expound, please.
Wouldn't it be a shame for a part-time wrestler who wrestles about once a year to lose his career?
Didn't he like, already retire? Didn't he not come out of retirement just to put his career on the line? I don't care.
I don't see what the big deal is here. But now, with that said, I think Triple H is going to win.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, Brady, but Omega, I think a few weeks ago you were saying that because he came out of retirement because he finally had a reason. Remember that whole thing that you were going on? Go with that. Go with that for a second.
Well, you know, he was. I was saying it was a very thin reason to come out. I mean, when Vince got F5'd, he and Triple H came out like 2 weeks later to say, now I have the motivation to come out because you F5'd my father-in-law. I was like, what was that? What is that all about? I don't understand. You know, because he said after the match last summer, he said, I still have the fire. I'm going to come back. And then he talked in that same speech that he was training and he was doing all this stuff and he just needed a reason to come back and he just waited until.
And I just bored everybody on TV.
Yeah. It was just very thin. I can't even remember exactly what I said, but.
Pretty much that.
Yeah, it was just. That's not much of a reason, is all I say.
No, it sucked. Like, it was like, we need to fill something here. We'll put Triple H against Brock Lesnar.
I think they dropped the ball with Brock Lesnar and at least this WrestleMania.
Yes, you're right.
Giving him a match with Triple H, which really nobody cares about, doesn't make much sense. Doesn't make much sense at all to me.
Well, who else would you put him against, though?
I was going to bring that up, actually. I'm sorry, I was going to bring that up. I had a couple ideas, actually, because I wouldn't have booked WrestleMania the way they did all around this year. I would have Brock Lesnar take on The Undertaker. I don't see that piece of crap being able to beat Brock Lesnar. So when
like
he
Undertaker
does, it would
much.
Really annoy me.
Why is he a fat piece of crap that can kick your ass, Brady?
I think because he's married now and he never wrestles or works out because of his bad shoulder. That's why I think he's a fat piece of crap, honestly. I mean, he's only around once a year. Do you really honestly believe that he would have a shot at beating Brock Lesnar?
Lesnar's only around three times a year with him in a perfect match.
But Lesnar
well,
does
Brock
train.
Lesnar trains all year.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar
and
hasn't
has
wrestled
like,
half the time that he has.
Well, Brock Lesnar has a legitimate background. The Undertaker doesn't.
Nobody in wrestling has a legitimate background. It's wrestling.
I think Brock Lesnar does.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar was lost like twice in amateur wrestling. I think he does have a pedigree.
I mean,
he was UFC heavyweight champion.
Professional wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that. I could see value in Brock Lesnar versus Ryback. I think that would be something that would be of interest to people.
Possibly.
I know they wouldn't do it, but like, you know, a Brock Lesnar match against The Rock or John Cena would also work.
I think Brock against Rock would have been the match that could have been a main event. I really do.
I suspect that that's what they're targeting for next year.
Probably. And I've heard that various different sources that's what they want to work up to. Do you think The Rock has it in him? I mean, the last time he wrestled Royal Rumble, he did not look good. He really didn't. I don't think that match was good, and I think he was winded about 5 to 10 minutes in.
3 minutes.
I thought he looked good in Elimination Chamber, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
When did he come out in Elimination Chamber?
He didn't. He just defended the title straight up against CM Punk.
Oh, did he? Okay, I don't even.
Yeah.
I was with you on that one, Brady.
Yeah. I
actually didn't think he was that bad in the Royal Rumble either, but I mean, I'll give you that.
I was going to say, I didn't think he looked that bad.
Oh, he looked awful.
Isn't he bulking up for a role, though? So I'm concerned about this particular match.
I don't know. He's in that Michael Bay movie with Shaky Cam, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, there's probably another film that he's...
He's supposed to be Hercules, I think.
Oh, wonderful.
Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah.
You know what, Dean? Like, I mean, when I was looking at the card, I was thinking about it, and, like, it would totally make sense. They could have had CM Punk challenge Alberto Del Rio. You wouldn't have needed Jack Swagger and all that crap. Then Punk would have been going for a title, which he deserves to go for. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say while you're on a roll, because you guys love Cena so much, who does Cena wrestle at WrestleMania?
I think he wrestles The Rock still.
I think you do
Undertaker Brock. You do Punk versus Del Rio. You do Cena Rock. Taker Brock Lesnar. And
all right, Dean, what if Brock wrestles Rock? Who does Cena wrestle?
I would have put him in the Undertaker spot.
Really?
That's next year. I think that's next year.
So if...
Well, here's a question then, right?
Well, hypothetically, if that does happen next year, Undertaker wins this year, do you think Cena's the one to break the streak?
No. No one's ever going to break that streak.
Except for CM Punk this year.
If there was Brock Lesnar coming into the company at 21 years old this year, I would say that's the guy that breaks the streak.
Okay.
There's nobody in the company of value enough to destroy something that's such a big deal. And it is revered. I mean, it's amazing to me how much people honor that streak. I don't think it's that big of a deal myself, but
well,
I mean, people go crazy for it.
You know, it's been booked that way, so I don't understand why.
But consistently, I mean, The Undertaker makes what, 5 or 6 appearances in WWE in 1 year, something like that.
At this point,
okay,
yeah.
and that's really pushing it. It's really more like 1 or 2. I mean, aside from a couple vignettes here or there, and he is consistently the most popular performer in WrestleMania every year.
Well,
no matter who he's fighting,
it's a respect issue too. I think the fans do respect it. Because WrestleMania will get more of those casual viewers than the rest of the year. There will be people that treat it like the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So the casual viewer that remembers The Undertaker, that's what happens.
I mean, I think if they were really, really looking for someone to get behind to break the streak, the only one that might come to mind is that Dean Ambrose from The Shield, because they could justify it with those other two guys interfering.
Bane?
And he's somebody that they're going to get behind.
No.
But I don't think that's the way to go. A couple years ago, it would have been Wade Barrett.
Yeah, but then...
And they destroyed him.
They did destroy him, and now he's at an intercontinental title hold, and he's just going to hold there.
And he's with The Miz.
Well, you know, The Miz is the star of Bringing Three. Be careful.
Right.
Okay. Just saying.
Yeah. The other thing
I think CM Punk's got more years than you're saying. I really think it's going that way.
I will be shocked, but I'll be happy if it does.
Yeah, you know? I'd be the same way.
Every year people try to like justify why The Undertaker's going to lose. And every year it makes less and less sense.
The Undertaker should lose because he only wrestles once a year. We've said it 4 times. And that's not...
But it doesn't matter.
Why doesn't it matter?
Because he's still the most popular guy on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And it's going to be people that... those are the people that they cater to, especially around WrestleMania time, the casual viewer, rather than the smarks. So good enough.
I mean, believe me. I think CM Punk should take having to fight The Undertaker as a slap in the face after the year and a half that he's had with that company. He's been their MVP, their go-to guy. When Cena was slumping, Punk was their guy. And now he's being rewarded with a pinfall loss to a guy who's 51 years old with a beer gut, who is as slow as the great Kali, and maybe twice as mobile. Twice as mobile as Kali, I will give him that.
Wow. No love for The Undertaker from Brady Hicks.
And they wanted to hit Brady Hicks before.
Now, on the pre-show, you guys brought it up, Intercontinental title match. It's going to be Wade Barrett, the champion, defending against The Miz. I'm going with The Miz.
What do you mean on the pre-show?
The YouTube pre-show.
Oh, my God. They regulated the title to the pre-show?
Yes. I'm going with The Miz. We're going to have a title change right on the pre-show.
I'm going with The Miz because Wade Barrett is nothing now.
Or there could be another thing. There could be another thing where they make it one of those battle royals that they like to do.
Oh, I can't wait to not watch that.
Well, you know, you can always catch it on the DVD. Now, Dan, Brady, I'm sorry. Your thoughts on that match?
I think that it makes all the sense in the world for Wade Barrett to win, but it is the opening match for WrestleMania, I assume. It's the match that's supposed to get fans excited, and they probably want to see a title change, so I think that The Miz wins the title.
All right, Omega.
Yeah, I think that they're building up The Miz for a title change at this point. I think I don't know. I don't know that it makes sense to keep it on Wade Barrett. I don't have a problem if it does stay with Wade Barrett, but I think it makes sense for what they've been doing recently with the Ric Flair and mentorship and stuff for Miz to go over at this point.
There you go. So that was our first unanimous decision.
By the way, and that's just an added thought with the whole Reed Flair situation, the way The Miz has been mentoring under Ric Flair. If they try to turn it into a tribute to Ric Flair and his son, you can guarantee that The Miz is going to win the title. Guarantee it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
But unanimous decision there. Did you have something to add?
Totally anonymous. That's it.
Okay, I thought somebody was ready to say something.
Sorry.
Now, Team Hell No, Kane and Daniel Bryan, the champions, taking on Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston, of course, with AJ Lee on the outside.
AJ Lee.
Before you get into predictions, can I just mention there's a rumor floating around here.
No.
That they're actually going to add the women to the match.
Oh,
make it
really?
A sixth person. And have both the tag and the women's belt on the line.
Well, who's the woman for Team Hell No? Oh, Caitlin. Okay.
Caitlin, the champion. And
so
AJ Lee.
Both titles would be on the line, is what you're saying.
That's the rumor. Because they wanted to have a straight-up women's match. Now, there's a chance that they also do it the next night on Raw, just between the two women.
Why would they want to have a women's match?
Better question. How bad are the missing Beth Phoenix right now?
Yeah,
no kidding.
Or
thanks.
Karma.
That was sarcasm because I'd rather see those two wrestle.
Well, you know what? While they do miss Beth Phoenix, I think AJ Lee is your most over woman in the company. Not that that's tough to do. At this point, I would say I think AJ gets the belt, whether it's WrestleMania or the next night on Raw. I suspect it'll be the next night on Raw, and I suspect that Team Hell No will retain the titles. And there's a reason why I say that.
And that reason is?
I'll get into it later.
Okay, I'm going to go with Team Hell No as well to retain the titles. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, Team Hell No. Just I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this WrestleMania that I just, you know.
Omega, how about yourself?
I'm going to be the odd man out here. I'm going to take Ziggler and Big E at
this
point.
Well, I think I'm going along with what Brady's thinking as well.
And what's the reason?
Well, I'm saying Dolph is going to cash in after he defeats Alberto. After Swagger beats Del Rio, then we're going to have Dolph cash in.
And then we'll never see Swagger again until he kicks weed?
Possibly. Well, we might as well get into that match now. Alberto Del Rio with Ricardo Rodriguez. He's, of course, the World Heavyweight Champion, taking on Jack Swagger with Zeb. I am going for Swagler. However, Ziggler will be cashing in to walk away as the champion. Brady.
That's exactly it. I mean, you know what? I look at this match, and it baffles me that Jack Swagger is the number one contender. I don't care that it's only the world title. It makes no sense to me. Essentially, Swagger isn't even his own character, even now as a main eventer. He's just a bodyguard for Zeb Coulter, the controversial guy.
Yeah.
He's an extension of another character. He's not even his own character. It doesn't make any sense to me. He doesn't talk. He's not that great of a wrestler.
Well,
and
I think that
he's been mired in mid-cards since ECW folded. So I don't see what the value is in bringing Jack Swagger into main event WrestleMania. If this was over the limit, sure, what the hell, go at it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I disagree. I think Swagger is a talented individual, but he'll never get over the hump because he doesn't. He just can't do a promo. Whether it's a speech impediment, whether it's whatever, he just doesn't. He doesn't have it.
Well, we are going to have to disagree on that one, but I do think that Zeb Coulter's bodyguard is going to win the title, and then I think that the new baby face, the new emerging face of the company, Dolph Ziggler, will come out and save the day.
So you think he's going to be a baby face? How do you assume he'll turn? Sometime during that Team Hell No match?
I think that the turn will happen in the main event there, in that main event match.
Okay.
I think, yeah, just him coming out to beat up Ziggler, Swagger. Yeah, that'll get a pop. He'll go over, he'll be babyface.
Omega, how do you feel?
Save the day.
You know, well, I understand. I can't argue with everybody's points thus far. I'm actually leaning towards Del Rio winning the title here. And I think it's going to be one of those things where he ends up pinning Swagger. Swagger goes nuts and then, you know, starts beating him with a chair or something as a mechanism to explain Swagger taking a 30-day suspension or something like that. I lean about 50-50 towards Ziegler actually running in at this point and cashing in the Money in the Bank. Part of me thinks they want to drag that out as long as possible, and he's just going to do it right before Money in the Bank.
Well, it never has been cashed in at WrestleMania, so do you think that's important enough?
I don't argue that. I think it's a perfectly reasonable argument. And as I say, I'm kind of 50-50 on it. I can completely see him cashing in on WrestleMania. I understand that, but I don't. Part of me thinks that he's dragged it out this long. I think he's going to drag it out a little more. Because I went with him winning the tag titles, but I can also get behind him having both the tag titles and the heavyweight championship because they haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, fair enough. The next match I'm going to pick out here is one I really don't give anything about. It's Ryback taking on Mark Henry. Ryback.
Brady. Yeah. Oh, fine.
Brady.
Well, Ryback, obviously. I mean, he's the young up-and-coming guy. When they booked this match, I thought, you know what? Like, this actually makes sense. I could see this. It's a tough bad guy, very strong, very over, renowned for being just a mean, nasty dude. And it's not going to hurt him for Ryback to throw him around the ring and beat him. When I originally envisioned WrestleMania, I had Ryback fighting the Big Show. Sort of along the same mold, but Mark Henry makes so much sense to me, so I'm definitely going Ryback.
Dan? I know you already said Ryback, but...
Ryback.
Omega?
If Mark Henry weren't so injury-prone, I think I could say he might go over in this one, and then they do a series.
He might have a brain aneurysm.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm with everybody else. I think on the biggest stage of them all, I think it goes Ryback goes over.
Ugh. Good gracious. That will be my chance to head for the bathroom.
Feed me more.
That would be my chance to refresh my browser.
Yeah, yeah. We have the next match, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show taking on The Shield. And, of course, that is Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns. I'm going to go with The Shield here. Brady.
It will be a glorious night for The Shield. Because I think that Randy Orton is going to turn on his comrades and he's going to end up being like a mentor to the Shield.
You think that's
going to
go? You think they're going to put Orton with?
It'll be like a new
Haven?
Legacy.
But do you think
it'll be like a new legacy?
Kevin Nash, NWO.
But I mean, do you think it's going to be Heyman will still have something to do, or it's just Orton will take over?
Heyman never had anything to do with him, if you ask him.
Well, true, I know, but...
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I suspect that they'll try and spin it like Randy Orton was the guy behind it the whole time. I know that he's about due to turn anyway. I mean, he's wanted to for years, and supposedly he's getting his chance after WrestleMania. What a perfect chance, you know? You don't want the Shield to lose. You don't want to hurt Sheamus or the Big Show or Randy Orton. It's a perfect way to keep everybody okay.
And historically, WrestleMania is a chance for new angles to take place. Why
exactly.
Not? Why not?
That's what I say.
I like it.
Throw it against a wall and watch it run down.
Dan.
I'm going with Shield. Yeah, I do think Shield.
Do you agree with the assessment that Brady had that...
Randy Orton?
Yeah.
No way.
Not happening or no?
No, I never even thought of it. Let me rephrase that. I never even thought of it, and I like it. So I'll agree with it because I like it so much. And
it's never going to happen, though.
I never thought of it. Like, I was like, you know, that's actually a really good idea. I just assumed that Heyman would stick his nose in it eventually.
I like that, though. I'll go that way.
How about you, Omega?
Yeah, I think the Shield will probably go over. I'm not sure if it's going to be Randy Orton turning or it's just going to be they go over. I'd rather see him go over clean, honestly.
Maybe you think they could take any of those three and turn them heel and say I was behind it the whole time?
I don't think you could do it to Sheamus. I think sure you could, but it wouldn't be as good.
Yeah, I don't know, but no, if you can do it with Sheamus. He's gotten so goofy lately.
Sheamus isn't a training kind of guy.
It was all my fault, fella.
It's all my fault, fella. I had it from the beginning,
fella.
Of the hooligans. I taught them how to talk like Bane. It was crazy.
Plus, in my head, like I still remember when Nexus was running wild, and Sheamus like turned around and ran away from them. Like, he could have stood up to them and fought them, and he just ran away.
Yeah.
And that will always be in my head. It just symbolizes how goofy he is.
I have another question to go along with this match. Dean Ambrose, of course, was Jon Moxley in CZW. How big is this for CZW fans, for people that wrestled with him, for people that shared a locker room with him? This is huge, I think.
It's actually huge for independent wrestling in Philadelphia because not only that, but Seth Rollins was Tyler Black in Ring of Honor.
That's true too.
So I mean, you've got two guys that were wrestling twice a month in Philadelphia for years.
Yeah, of course, Moxley was part of Evolve and Dragon's Gate as well. So I think it's really a great thing, and a lot of people will be watching this match just to see. How it goes for these guys.
And you know what? Like, for years, WWE, they were hiring those big giants, you know, the guys who couldn't necessarily wrestle. And, you know, to look around the roster now and see the most popular stars, I mean, you've got guys like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk and Jon Moxley and Seth Rollins. And I think it's a really good omen. I really think that they've turned the corner in terms of what they look for in stars.
Certainly.
Do you think as in turning the corner, as in they'll be looking for more of those guys?
I think
like
so,
exactly
yeah.
Like
in fact, I, I expect him to sign Sammy in the next year, maybe even Adam Cole.
I certainly think Adam Cole is ready.
I'd love to see Adam Cole. Okay, Koa.
I mean, they did, of
but
course.
But I mean, there's others, you know? I mean, there's others that are deserving. I think that if you guys watch Ring of Honor, I think that the stuff that Mike Bennett is doing with Maria Kanellis, Maria could come back as a heel manager for Mike Bennett, and they would shoot right to the top on SmackDown.
And let's not forget about El Generico. He was signed. He's not without. They took the gimmick away, but
no.
Does he have a mask?
No, they took the gimmick away.
Damn it!
Wow.
Yeah, for NXT, he no longer has the gimmick.
Oh, is he on NXT? See, I don't watch that show. Is he on there now?
He wrestled a match a few weeks ago, so I'm not sure if he's part of the roster or if it was just one-off.
Yeah, I don't get Hulu. So.
Let me ask you a side question. Is what's his name? Is William Regal still doing commentary for that show?
I believe so.
I really got to watch that because I love him.
Yes,
on commentary.
Yes, he is Sunshine.
Thank you.
It's Jim Ross and William Regal, right? They're the ones calling it.
They are in William Regal, huh?
Yeah,
they were,
so.
But I'm not sure.
I got to watch it because I always thought he was great on commentary. William Regal has always been one of my favorite talents.
Yeah,
in wrestling.
Oh.
Even when he was Lord Steven, I liked him.
Oh yeah,
I never understood that when people said that.
No, he's good, Brady.
I think
get
he's
on the
funny.
Train.
I like he's okay in comedy, but I just
man, yeah. Such a man.
No singing then. Okay.
He's a man.
I got
Brady. Come on.
Thank you, Brady. I got confirmation by Mighty Mouth Harry Barnett that Regal is still on commentary. Sorry, Harry. I just like Mighty Mouth. It's funny.
All right. So we already talked about CM Punk and Undertaker. I don't think much more needs to be said. I'm going with Punk by DQ.
I'm saying Punk, and I think just to be different, I'm going to say clean.
Oh, Brady.
Hang up on him.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to be different, too. The Undertaker, Tombstone, Center of the Ring, pinfall. Or maybe he'll submit him with that octopus hold.
It's a Googleplata.
Googleplata.
Right, yeah.
Googleplata.
But the point is that the Undertaker... He wins, and it's not even going to be like a long match. Like Undertaker and Triple H or Undertaker and Shawn went like a half an hour. I'm guessing this will be like 10-15 minutes.
They're giving it 20.
Undertaker's going to beat him.
It was leaked the times of the matches.
Yeah, but that includes entrances.
Does it include entrances?
I believe it does.
I thought that was just an independent.
You remember Jason Oli telling you that? Come on.
I just remember Well, each independent, though, does it differently, so God knows if that's...
I think it includes exits, too.
Oh, my God, so that's going to be a 5-minute match, then.
I'm thinking like 12, because honestly, I don't think The Undertaker could do much more anyway at this point.
Sure, I saw 20, who knows? I mean, he could be really training hard. It didn't look like it on Monday, but what do I know? What do I know? Omega? Your pick. I don't think we actually got your pick.
No. I'm going with Taker. He's
really?
Gonna pinfall, clean, tombstone. I think
two
it's going
to
be
two there. Two for two. Okay. So we, of course, have the main event. And for this, I'm going to bring John back on because he has been taken.
Can I ask my question, please?
That's why he likes you, Dean.
Now, John, you're back. We're talking the main event now. It is going to be John Cena challenging for that prestigious title against The Rock. Who do you have, John?
It was Rock's turn last year to win, and now we all know it's got to be Cena's turn. But my thing before I end this, is it going to happen again like we saw 20 years ago at WrestleMania 9, if you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. So
what? Bret Hart's going to come out?
Yeah. What exactly do you mean by that?
If Dolph Ziggler's going to cash it in, and Cena's going to hold it for like less than a minute or so.
No, Cena. He can't cash in. He has the SmackDown briefcase.
And that's the thing. Like, is it even a brand anymore? That's the question, because...
Well, he has the world heavyweight title. He has the world heavyweight title.
They did say that.
Yeah, it is for the world heavyweight. Yeah.
Because I don't agree with it, but they did say that.
Yes.
Because if it does, because we all know for the past 2 years the world title has been coming on first, which is not really good for WrestleMania, the start of title matches with. So you think that's going to happen right away at the start of the show? And I don't want to see him like the new Steve Austin and the new John Cena holding the tag team titles and a world title, because he's way not at that level yet to hold world title and tag titles.
You lost me, John.
Like, he's going for the tag team titles against Kane and Daniel Bryan with Big E.
That's correct.
And he's not going to win the title and hold on to both titles, like I said. Steve Austin has held the world title and the tag team title at the same time, and so has John Cena when he was with Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
So you think it's going to happen again with a new guy?
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I believe, yeah, I believe Team Hell No is definitely going to retain the titles.
Yeah.
Huh? And then I think Ziggler is going to cash in on Swagger after Swagger defeats Alberto Del Rio.
Dot, dot, dot.
He's like Rev Rich with a little bit of intelligence.
Well, I'm going to call
him. No, I'm only kidding. I like Rev Rich. I'm only kidding, Rich.
So,
but really.
Please, Carter.
Now let me go flush the toilet.
No, please don't.
I want to be clear, anybody listening, that Brady Hicks of PWI and In the Room said that, not Dean or Dan of Hell in the Cell.
That's correct.
Continue, Dean.
That's correct. So
I apologize, though.
I'm going to
say it.
Oh, yeah, I made you say it, you jerk. It's Cena, Rock. Obviously, last year, Rock won. We're going to go with Cena winning the world, well, the WWE title. Brady.
Don't expand, Brady.
What's that?
Nothing.
I love you. Well, you know what? I think, for me, it was a given that Cena was going to win before. But what they did on Raw in Philadelphia like 2 weeks ago, when they had The Rock basically like bullying John Cena.
Yes.
It didn't have the effect that it should have, but it should have made Cena more of a sympathetic character. It didn't, because the fans are jerks too. But
I think that Cena
is the guy that has to win in this spot, you know? It's no different than what they tried to do countless other times over the years, but the guys were just too selfish to follow through. Like, for example, the Warrior and Hogan. They were supposed to come back the next year with Hogan beating the Warrior. Bret Hart and Shawn, the same thing. Now, Austin actually returned the favor to The Rock, and now I suspect that The Rock is going to return the favor to John Cena, just because it's the right thing to do.
Okay, Dan, your pick.
You know what?
Not Rock. That it's much of... Oh, come on. That's not happening. Is that a serious pick, or are you just...
No, I am being serious, because I read somewhere, and correct me if I'm wrong, because if I'm wrong, then my pick is totally asinine, which hasn't been... It's happened before. Did he not sign on for dates after WrestleMania?
I believe so.
I think he's winning.
No.
I don't want him. Let me clear this up.
You don't want him to, but...
I don't want him to, but I have this feeling they're going to pull it. They're going to pull this.
And then a rematch. At
yeah.
If I can clarify.
Yes, please.
And I don't know that this answers it one way or another, but he is supposed to be at Raw the next night.
Yes.
And I believe they have him for Extreme Rules or whatever the next pay-per-view after that is. Now, that could be the rubber match for Rock and Cena. It could be the one where Cena finally, you know, moves past the Rock. They could have Brock Lesnar interfere in that or whatever. They could put the Rock out of action.
Start over. What are you saying now?
Okay, I'm saying...
I'm being serious. I'm not breaking your balls. I didn't get that.
No, that's okay. I know that they have The Rock confirmed for the night after on Raw. That's pretty much a given nowadays.
Right, right.
Regardless of who wins. The Rock
right.
has also signed on supposedly for Extreme Rules, which is the pay-per-view after.
Right, that's why I think
so that would be their May. And that could be, but what I think is going to happen is I think John Cena is going to win at WrestleMania. He'll get his win because that's what you remember are the wins at WrestleMania. They can have their rubber match at the next pay-per-view, which I think John Cena will win again, and maybe that's the match where Brock Lesnar interferes and sends The Rock away for a while.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good point.
You know what? I'll take that, but I'll put it the other way around. That Rock wins WrestleMania.
That's fine.
Win or lose,
Cena's going to be the one to beat him for the title, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm just saying I have this weird feeling, and it came last year when The Rock won. One of the things I said was that was for the smarks who were like, Rock's not winning. And they were like, yeah, bullshit, he's winning. I'm sorry, that's it. They were like, no, bull crap, he's winning. And I think they're just going to do it just to do it again.
They were like, Batista's dick, Rock's not winning.
Omega.
I'm sorry, dude. I didn't say it. Again, that was Brady from In the Room.
I'm aware who said it. Omega.
Anyway, yeah, I don't see a way that Rock wins this one. I think it has to go to Cena at this point.
Yes, Cena.
As much as I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
I really don't care who goes over, honestly.
Wait a minute. I sat here before the show going, I'm going to behave this week. I'm going to be serious. And then they mentioned Batista's private parts, and it's been off track ever since for me.
Ooh, I've been bad. I've been bad tonight. Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the card. That, of course, is Sunday.
Who did John pick?
Oh, John, I'm so sorry. John, Cena or Rock?
Your deal.
I'm going Cena. Even though I don't really like the guy that much, even though I like Rock more, but I think it's Cena's turn.
Cena
John,
turns.
Can I get a... John, yeah. Can you give us a... Ba-da-da-doo!
My name is Dean. My name is Dean.
No, that's not it.
Oh my God!
All right, so that of course.
My name is Dean.
We're going to donate this to NPR.
Of course, that is Sunday from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey.
My question was going to be: has anybody seen the pictures of the set built yet?
Yeah, they have
Okay, so I didn't show you anything earth-shattering. Well, I'm glad to know that I contribute absolutely nothing.
Statue of Liberty, yes.
It is 100% confirmed that I will not be in attendance for WrestleMania.
No, you will not be.
I kindly turned WWE's request to have me there down.
I actually just got offered a ticket.
I think you should go.
To go, and I'm like, I can't.
Well, you can send it my way then. So
that
is, of course, Sunday.
It's not a free ticket.
Starts at 7 o'clock.
I didn't mean that how it came out.
On pay-per-view. Going to be
4 hours?
Yeah, it's always 4 hours. It's been 4 hours for the past.
I still don't agree with the $400 they're charging to watch it on TV.
Well, $69.95. I do have a caller, so let's get this out of the way. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Get this out of the way.
That would be the great Harry Barnett.
Oh, well,
Harry, can you stick around for a little bit?
Here I come.
Of course I can, Dean.
Okay, Harry, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about our top five matches of WrestleMania history and our top five performers. So I'm putting you on the spot there, Harry.
Yeah, come up with a list real quick, like I did last minute.
And what I'm going to do first is play a commercial for New Moon Rising Wrestling. They have birthday parties. Everybody get in on that. And then Mystery Men. I'm not sure what song I'm going to play yet. Probably my favorite, Keep My Heat On.
I was going to say, just do that one.
Yeah. So it's going to be a commercial, then a song, then we'll be back.
Booyaka.
Yeah, after this.
This is the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, from New Moon Rising Wrestling. Have you ever dreamed of having your birthday party inside a professional wrestling ring? Well, now is your opportunity. You've seen the rest. Now it's time to experience the best. At New Moon Rising Wrestling's birthday bash birthday parties, we don't just offer unique and affordable party options. We create memories that will last a lifetime. We offer free outstanding party packages. All packages include great photo opportunities with the wrestlers and real championship belts, along with fun in a professional wrestling ring. For more information, go to nmrwrestling.com or call 609-820-2793 for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Birthday Bash.
Heat On from the Mystery Men on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Great song. That band is fantastic, Dean. Great drummer, great bass player.
I certainly agree. Now, on the 14th of this month, they are going to be jamming for Brianne. Brianne, hard times. I believe she was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer.
Jesus.
So they're doing a fundraiser. A lot of bands will be at the Stone Pony.
The good old Stone Pony.
In Asbury Park, New Jersey. Of course, that is April 14th. And the Mystery Men, one of the bands involved in that. Great cause.
That's a great, when you have a cause like that and you get just
the local bands together. That usually turns out to be a great show. You raise quite a few bucks for that.
Definitely. Now, Harry, how are you doing?
Hello, Harry.
I'm doing great, Dean. How are you guys doing? And Dan, if you ever use that name for me again that I heard earlier on, I'll put your head back up the American Roughnecks. Keep it PG and say behind.
I don't think you're man enough.
Well, we'll see in September, shall we?
Okay. I thought you liked me. I thought it was. I was just kidding, Harry. Don't hurt me.
All right. So. We are going to... Yeah,
do me a favor. Don't put me anywhere near his ass.
I wouldn't want to be anywhere near that either. But Dan, Omega,
yeah.
Brad, Harry, we are going to talk about the top five performers in WrestleMania history.
Performers first.
Yes, we're doing the performers first, matches last. Now, number five, my choice. Was one of the greatest performers of all time. He held the record for most consecutive appearances in WrestleMania until Kane broke it not too long ago.
Thank God for that.
My choice is Bret Hart. Compiled a 7-7 record, had some of the greatest matches in history. One of the most overrated matches in history as well. which is that 60-man Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12. But, however, he did the following year make up for it and had a great match with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So Bret Hart's my number five. I'm going to go to Dan. You're number five, Dan.
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was whether we want to admit it or not, Hulk Hogan was the face of professional wrestling for years. And WrestleMania, not built on his back, but WrestleMania was his... Well, not only his, but it was his platform, the main event for many, many years. And I'm saying the torch was passed to him at WrestleMania 3. And I'm going to say, again, not my favorite, but Hogan's got to be on the top five.
Definitely. And going along with your sentiment? Yeah, going along with that, Dan, is he did headline, if you take out WrestleMania 4 because it was a tournament format, he did headline the first eight. WrestleManias.
Yeah, I mean, back to back. Do we count number nine?
No. Okay. The first eight. That's why I'm saying.
Well, I was asking for. Okay. Cool.
Yeah, he didn't. No, that he didn't headline that. Brady, number five for you.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. I have Hogan coming a little bit later. I think Austin. He was sort of the main event of 13, even though it's not technically the main event. He also main evented in 14, yep. 15. He was injured for 16. He main evented 17. And he main evented 19. I think that that's a very strong body of work for somebody who spent more than half of his WWE career on the show.
19 was Brock and Kurt, but you're saying that The Rock and Austin, you're considering that one of the main events.
Well, I think at this point you kind of have to, don't you?
I consider it the main event.
Well, fair enough.
I mean, I think we're co-main events. I mean, it's
well,
just
I
the
think
way
the trilogy,
they laid it out.
We'll get into this with the matches, but I think the trilogy of Austin and The Rock was probably the best trilogy in WrestleMania history.
Oh, no doubt. It might be the only trilogy.
No, there's another one, Undertaker and Triple H, but we don't talk about that because it didn't happen, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a good one for you later.
Now, Harry, do you have one?
Well, I was going to go with the exact same one that my good friend Brady Hicks just went with, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, same reasons,
my
pretty much?
My good friend. Sorry.
Same reasons, pretty much, Harry?
And Scott Hicks. Yeah, I'm going to go with the same reasons.
Okay, Omega, you're number five.
I think mine's going to be a bit unconventional. But my number five is Edge.
Really?
And, yeah, you know.
He's on my top ten, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it's probably because of my own personal taste and that I'm big on the spot fests, and I just really like guys who can really put over really consistent matches and really entertain on a
on a consistent basis. And I think Edge did that, with the exception of his final match, obviously, that short match. But I mean, when I think about, you know, some of the brutal WrestleMania matches he had with Christian and some of his title matches, I think he was a very consistent and very good performer. But as I said, I completely understand people think that's an unconventional.
No. When I did this for Bleacher Report, I had 10, and he was number 10. I think some of his matches, like you said, even his singles career after the tag team, were still up there. I mean, the Mick Foley match from 23, I think it was, probably the best match on that card, I think, unless Michaels had a better one. Michaels probably did, but whatever. So that's number five. Now, number four. I have the Macho Man, Randy Savage, at number four. He compiled a 7-4 record. That's including the tournament, of course, from WrestleMania 4 as well. Won the title twice. Basically, WrestleMania 4 was built around Randy Savage. He headlined the following WrestleMania at WrestleMania 5 against Hogan. He, of course, had one of the greatest matches in WrestleMania history with Ricky Steamboat. Had another great match with Ric Flair. I think he definitely deserves to be in the top four. That's my choice, Randy Savage. Dan, your pick.
Randy Savage.
For the same reasons as above?
Pretty much. I didn't realize what his record was, but, I mean, the back-to-back title wins, building number four on him. Two of my favorite WrestleMania matches.
Was it WrestleMania 10 against Crush? I know it was.
It was. It was against Crush. It was amazing. No, Flair Savage and Flair Savage and Steamboat Savage.
Yeah, definitely.
I love those matches, period. Unbelievable.
WrestleMania 8, of course, that was probably the better of the two main events for WrestleMania 8. And WrestleMania 3, people still talk about it today. Brady.
The Macho Man Randy Savage.
There you go, number four.
Are you serious?
Well, you know what? 3 versus Steamboat, 4 in the tournament, 5 versus Hogan, 7 versus The Warrior, which you didn't even mention, which I counted in my top five matches.
That's
and then
point,
8
huh?
when he won the title. You know, I don't see how you – I have Savage at 4.
That's great.
Okay. Harry, let me guess. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Not at all. Hulk Hogan, for the same reason as whoever used him for 5. I can't remember who it was. That was you, Dan. Yeah, I thought so.
Hogan number 5.
Same reason.
Omega, unconventional, or are you going with the flow?
I'm going with Bret Hart.
Okay.
At number 4. And basically for the reasons you laid out off the top, you know, just and again, consistent entertainment, consistent talent, consistent storytelling.
Yeah, definitely. Now, number 3, I have Hulk Hogan. He compiled an 8-2-1 record in WrestleMania. The first 8 WrestleManias built around him.
That's impressive.
Of course, that one no contest was a double disqualification at WrestleMania 4 against Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Of course, he did wrestle Andre the Giant in probably one of the most important WrestleManias besides the first one. WrestleMania 3. So Hogan, 8-2-1. And of course, he beat Vince McMahon at 19. So showing the longevity. And not only that, wrestled The Rock, which saved WrestleMania 18 in a way.
Yeah.
Because the main event of 18 was, especially after that emotional high that Hogan and Rock had. Just a little less than to be desired. Triple H and, of course, Chris Jericho. So there you go. Number 3 for Dan.
Undertaker.
Undertaker, number 3. Of course, he's 20-0 in WrestleMania.
I picked it strictly because he's 20-0, the streak, and that he's been, you know, he's been there that many years.
Yeah,
that's
true.
That's it. I mean, back in his heyday, a great performer. And I disagree. I don't think he's a fat piece of crap as Brady so elegantly pointed out earlier. I think he's still got a little bit left. I think it sucks that he only wasted on 1 a year. But, you know, I'll put him in number 3, man.
All right, Brady, number three.
Jerk.
Can I do a tie?
Can you do a tie? Sure. You have two people for number two?
I do. Well, the clear cut number three, if you told me that that I had to just pick one, would be John Cena.
Okay.
Who has quietly picked up big WrestleMania wins in 20, WrestleMania 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, missed 25, 126. I forget if he won in 27, and he lost last year.
Well, he lost.
Well, that's a lot of wins.
He's been fine event.
He lost
a lot of wins.
Yeah, he lost to Triple H and Randy Orton, whatever year that was. I think that
in
was
the triple threat. But he did beat Triple H in their 1-on-1 match at 22.
Oh yeah.
But by the way, real quick before we move on, I just want to point out Master Gigante had the same number four.
Oh, Savage.
Of course. And my other one at number three, even though he doesn't have the best win-loss record, I look at it like two totally separate Hall of Fame careers would be Shawn Michaels, you know? He had that great, great run before he got hurt, before he hurt his back, and then he came back a few years later and competed in several more WrestleManias, many of which are still revered as top matches in WrestleMania history today.
Oh, the string that he put together. When he came back from the injury is second to none, but we'll get into that. Number three for you, Harry.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho. Now that's unconventional. I didn't even have anything prepared for Chris Jericho. Why do you say Chris Jericho?
Well, if you look at it, he's been in a variety of different spots. You know, he's been in some of the best matches, but Shawn Michaels, that's probably the only match I can actually think of at the moment. He's like been in the world title picture, tag title picture, in the Continental title. Obviously, he's made that famous, really. But no, he's been in a variety of different spots and made all of them work at WrestleMania.
Well, I can't disagree. He's won a few titles along the way, too. He did win the Intercontinental title from, was it William Regal, am I thinking? I think it was Wayne Regal.
I think so, yeah.
Omega. Oh, and of course he did defeat Edge in 27 or whatever it was. So, yeah, he did retain the title, which is unheard of for a heel in WrestleMania.
Just quickly, Dean, before you go on to Omega, while you bring up William Regal, I just want to say, Brady, don't you dare bury my countrymen like that. Like you did earlier.
Thank you, Harry.
Sorry to stage William Regal. I want to again.
What is wrong with Omega? Your pick for number three.
my pick. I'm going to agree with Dan. I'm going to go with the Undertaker.
Hell yeah. Okay.
You know, for a guy who puts on consistent, who's been in 21 WrestleMania, well, will be in 21 WrestleMania matches.
That has
a great number of them, which are considered classics.
Once we're done, I'll explain my reasoning behind Undertaker. But go ahead.
I think when you look at, again, you know, and I again going over my criteria, consistent entertainment. Is he the most technical wrestler in later years? No, granted, certainly not, but. You know, as far as storytelling and the drama he puts on in the WrestleMania matches, I think it's hard to argue that Undertaker doesn't deliver.
That's a good point. Now, number two for me, Stone Cold Steve Austin compiled a 5-2 record, one of only four men to win the title three times at WrestleMania. And, of course, had the trilogy with The Rock, headlined a few WrestleManias, as Brady brought up. Before, so Stone Cold Steve Austin, my number two. Dan, your number two.
Bret Hitman Hart.
Same reasons as everybody else?
Pretty much.
Brady, your number two. I'm sorry, Dan.
No, nothing. Go ahead, Brady.
Your number two, Brady.
I keep going back and forth between who my number two is and who my number one is, but I think I'm going to go with The Undertaker for number two. He has... You know, aside from inevitably becoming 21-0 next week, he's one of those guys that He's beaten every major star from the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and 2010s, if you look at it, many of which were WrestleMania wins. I don't see how you can't put The Undertaker in your top five.
Okay. Harry, you're number two.
Triple H.
Triple H, that high?
Wow.
Wow.
Well, he kind of dominated the generation, really, whether he won or lost.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Triple H. You know what? One thing you can say about Triple H, especially at WrestleMania, he always did pass the torch. Of course, he has a bad reputation with the internet wrestling community. He's all ego and this and that. But Triple H, of course, is 0-3 against The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
I'd like to point out that most of the internet doesn't know him and doesn't know what goes on backstage. So,
well, that's true too. That's
pish
true too.
Posh.
Well, no, but I'm just
apple
saying he does.
Schmapple.
He does have that reputation. But my point is, he did do the job for Batista. He did do the job for Cena the following year. So what can you say? I mean,
don't say a word.
And do you know what else? Do you know what else? Honestly. Most guys that are successful in wrestling have a reputation as being politickers, almost all of them.
Yeah, Hogan definitely has that. Even Shawn Michaels.
Hogan,
Shawn, his,
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Even,
I definitely
even Austin, even Austin, he didn't agree with the way the build-up for a match should go, so he took his ball and went home.
That's true. That is definitely true.
And Bret Hart, too. I mean, you know, there have been times when Bret Hart stood up for himself. Everybody's like that.
Sure, sure. I
come
definitely
on,
do agree.
Every great man's got an ego.
That's true. Omega, you're number two.
My number two is Hulk Hogan. I get it. I get that sentiment. But when you think of WrestleMania, certainly in the early days, you think of Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan, yeah.
And, you know, whether or not the matches were awesome, you cannot deny the charisma. You cannot deny the pop he received. You cannot deny his popularity. Smoking time. Shut up, Dan.
Sorry.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
So, I mean, I think it's very difficult for me not to put Hulk Hogan at the top five, and just because of his sheer importance to what made WrestleMania WrestleMania.
Definitely. Yeah. Harry, I skipped you. I'm sorry. You're number two.
No, you did.
No, you did.
Oh, I don't know where my mind is. Okay, so now the number one for me is the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, compiled a 6-11 overall record, 5-9 in singles. Now, the reason I put him so high on the list, when you think of WrestleMania, especially in the later years, you think of Shawn Michaels. At least I do. Right. He had matches of the year. Probably from WrestleMania, when did he come back? 19 with Jericho?
19.
So from WrestleMania 19 until his retirement match.
No, yeah. It was 19, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 19 and then 20, of course, was, we'll get into that later on, too. But you go from 19 until he was done, what was that, 26? And every match he had. Whether it was Angle, whether it was Flair, whether it was the two matches with Undertaker, the triple threat at 20, he consistently delivered a match of the year.
Let me ask you.
That's why he's my number one.
Who didn't get a little emotional during the Flair Michaels? The retirement one where Flair was retired.
Well, we'll get into that with the matches, I'm sure, Dan.
Fine.
I love you. I'm sorry.
Greg,
you don't have a soul, Brady.
Yeah, but Greg.
No, I thought it was great.
Medium. Yeah, Greg.
Thank you, Dan.
Medium.
You know what? I'm sorry, Dean. Just to back up what you said about Shawn, it is like he had two totally separate Hall of Fame careers. He had that run from the late '80s until he hurt his back in 1998.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came back in 2002, and he had that very strong run until 2010.
All right, Dan, you're number one.
Shawn Michaels.
All right. So there you go.
I mean, we can't really elaborate anymore. I mean, when I think of WrestleMania, one of the main things I think of is him on the, what the heck is that called? The line.
whatever it's called, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the images that popped in my head. What pops in my head is him coming back. I mean, you can't say much more than that. The win-loss record doesn't mean anything. It's wrestling. That when I think of WrestleMania in the last 15 years, I think of Shawn Michaels.
Some of the best matches.
Period.
In history. And even that 12, I think it's overrated. I think people really hype that up better than it was. But still, a lot of people think the 12, and a lot of people say 14 against Austin.
Well, at number 10.
Well, 10, yeah, of course. The
Michaels Razors, that ladder match is still one of those matches I could probably watch once a month and still be entertained, like, each time. It's just great stuff.
All right. Brady, you're number one.
Well, for the first 7 years of WrestleMania, only three names were there every year. Tito Santana, Andre the Giant, and Hulk Hogan. With WrestleMania 8, Andre was dead, so it was just Tito and Hulk. But by WrestleMania 9, there was only one name. The number one star in the history of WWE, the top pop cultural icon of all time in wrestling, and the number one star in WrestleMania, the man who main evented essentially WrestleManias 1 through 9, Hulk Hogan.
I can see the reasoning behind that.
Do you
write
this stuff?
I kind of do.
Yeah, I was just saying, no, I was like, do you write this stuff or are you just that good, brother?
He's that
Thank
good.
You.
No, but I definitely you. Do agree with that, Brady. I can see the argument. It's a very good argument. Of course, everybody had Hogan in their top five, so that says something.
Sure.
Unless Harry changes things up. Let's see. Harry, you're number one, but I think he already had his top five. But go ahead, Harry.
Well, as I sadly can't pick myself because I've never been a WrestleMania star, I'm going to go with The Rock and The Undertaker as a tie.
Mm. The Rock, really, that high?
Yeah, well, looking back on it, like, he was the reason that I started watching wrestling. I would see The Rock and think, this guy's cool. And I'd start watching, and he was the first WrestleMania main event. It was him against Austin, I think, that I saw. Mm-hmm. So he was what really drew me in. So, yeah, I'd put him as my number one. And Undertaker, for the fact that it's The Undertaker, come on. 20 and nearly 21 and 0.
All right. Omega, you're number one.
Well, I think it's been said many times between you and Dan, but HBK. The man epitomizes entertainment and consistency and just everything you want to see in a WrestleMania main eventer.
Definitely.
You know, what more needs to be said, really? I mean, I can completely see. I put HBK above Hulk Hogan only in the fact that he's that talented. He's so much more talented than Hogan.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, he's not the pop culture icon. I get it, but I would watch an HBK match any day over a Hogan match.
I mean, that definitely has to.
Except for Bash at the Beach 2000, it was amazing.
Dan,
sorry.
Come on now. You and your WCW weekly reference.
I had to get one.
Yeah, you definitely did. So that is our top performance. Now, I did not have Undertaker. I did not have Undertaker in my top five. The reason being, he has had some horrible match.
Crap.
The match against El Gigante. For one. Which could put into question his streak, if you look at it closely. I mean, he did win by DQ, but he did not win by pinfall or submission.
Well, Gigante was such a piece of crap, we just give him that one.
Yeah, we kind of passed. The match against
You know what I used to say about The Undertaker early on was he forfeited at WrestleMania 10. He wasn't there. That's a loss.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
He forfeited. Who
Hold
did
on,
he beat
all,
at WrestleMania 10?
Come on, guys. Let's all laugh at Brady's show.
Anyway.
Who did he beat at WrestleMania 16? You can't keep taking years off and say you're undefeated.
Sure you can. Why not?
Okay.
Why not? Because boxers are undefeated and whatnot. And they might not, you know. Anyway.
Really.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all fake anyway. But, of course, the match against Bundy at 11 was horrible. The match against Big Boss Man, the Hell in a Cell match, was probably one of the worst. So the fact he had two of the worst matches, and then the match against Kane at 20 was awful. Oh, he's had Mark Henry. He's had some stinkers. So that's
don't forget the handicap match too with Albert and the Big Show.
Yeah, let's not forget that either.
There's a reason why I have.
Yeah. So he has had his fair share of great matches, but I think the poor matches really outweigh that. So now, let's.
Player one.
Now let's talk about the matches that define WrestleMania. Top five. My number five comes from WrestleMania 8. It is Ric Flair, the defending champion, taking on Macho Man Randy Savage. That's my number five. A great classic 20-minute match. Dan, you're number five.
Listen, that's one of my favorite matches, but I will save that one for later. I'm going to have a tie on this one, and I'm only having a tie because I know you dislike this match so much, that's why I didn't technically put it on the list. Hart Michaels.
It's not that I dislike it, I just think it's
overrated, whatever.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is but I'll put the match that didn't happen, Triple H versus Undertaker X7.
I think that was their best match.
Yes, exactly. I think that was my favorite of the three that they had. That's the one that I keep going back to. I love that match, and it didn't happen.
And it has the longest WWE ref bump in history. Mike Chioda was out 10 minutes in that. 10 minutes.
Beautiful.
Because he took the bump before they went out and fought in the crowd, and then he was still out when they came back. So, longest ref bump in history.
I'm pretty sure he just fell asleep.
It could have been.
You know what? I'm just going to lay here, guys. But, Taker, Trips, X7.
Brady, you're number five.
Hogan Warrior from WrestleMania 6.
I can't disagree with that. That was a very important match at the time. It was the first time that Hogan was pinned cleanly in years. Definitely headlined the show. That was really a one-match WrestleMania, too. WrestleMania.
At the time, the feeling was that the torch had been passed. And, I mean, if you look at it, it really did appear so.
Little did we know that Ultimate Warrior's ego would get out of it.
I want my crack.
You know what? I want to talk about this a little bit later on, but at WrestleCon, Brady, Ultimate Warrior has his own room. You can't even see him unless you have the ticket.
What, is he just going to sit there by himself?
But for $500, you can take him out to lunch. And I want to pay Rat Boy to dress up like the Ultimate Warrior and take him out to lunch and videotape the entire thing.
You couldn't pay me $1,000 to give him half of it to take that mother effer out to lunch.
It would be incredible. I would sell the DVD.
I don't care what he has to say. I don't care. I don't want him to breathe on me.
I don't care. I don't even want to talk about him.
I would pay $500 to walk in the room just to call him, "Hey, Jim Hellwig, how you doing? Sting was better."
Ripping and tearing.
Harry, you're number five.
What year was Jericho Michaels? That was 19, wasn't it?
That was 19,
yeah. Yeah, Jericho Michaels.
All right. Great match. It was, of course, Shawn Michaels' first match back from his back injury. And yeah. it set the tone for his comeback.
And I know I've said this a bunch of times, but we always forget, Michaels was never supposed to come back.
No, not at all.
And no one was
supposed to come back, though.
Well, but what I'm saying is to have the career you have after, you know, you have a back injury, he's never going to be able to wrestle again.
Still, I still think about it. Mind blowing.
It really is. Omega.
Well, I'm gonna return to my unconventional ways, and partially it's because that I don't have the broad wrestling knowledge that probably you guys do. But you know, and the other part reason is I just the style of wrestling I like to see those high flying gimmick matches with all the craziness. My number five is the first Money in the Bank match from WrestleMania 21.
That's not a bad selection at all. Innovative.
Innovative, and you really, I really like the Money in the Bank matches. Shelton Benjamin running up that ladder sticks with me. Just some crazy, crazy bumps the whole way through. I really liked it.
Yeah. And of course, if you recall, who came out? Edge came out. Benoit was climbing up the ladder.
Who?
And Benoit, come on, Dan. And Edge hit him with the chair.
Thank you, Harry.
The way that he fell off, I mean, it looked like the guy was hit with a shotgun.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Just the way that was sold, just everything about that match. I would certainly agree. You know, that's great. Now, number four, I am going with the first Undertaker-HBK match from WrestleMania 25. Again, this was about a one WrestleMania, you know, one WrestleMania quality match, and it was, of course, HBK and Undertaker, the first one from 25. So that's my number four. Dan, you're number four.
You're number five, Savage Flair.
Okay.
I enjoyed that match so much more than a lot of other matches I've seen ever. I love that match, every aspect about it.
And then you had later on, Hogan and Sid were in the, I guess what you would call the conventional main event. And,
oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I really did.
You had Papa Shango run in and mess that up and
Did you see recently that Papa Shango was supposed to make a return?
Oh God.
Instead he went with the Godfather thing because like they had a whole like he had promo pictures taken in the new gimmick and everything. And they dropped it at the last minute. They didn't say he'd get over again.
All right, Brady, number four for you.
From WrestleMania 7, another Warrior match, the Warrior versus Randy Savage in a retirement match.
Well,
I don't think Warrior's that great, guys.
No, but that was a really good match.
everything about that match, from the emotion of Savage losing, reuniting with Elizabeth, the fact that he gave him five elbow drops from the top rope and Warrior still found a way to kick out. The gods almost told the Warrior to walk out of the match. Do you remember? He's asking why, and then he like goes to leave or whatever, and then Savage attacks. The whole thing was just laid out masterfully.
I need my retainer or I'm walking away.
I thought that the Warrior floundered his entire career unless he was in the ring with Rick Rude, Hulk Hogan, or Randy Savage.
Yeah, definitely. I can certainly agree with that. Another thing about that match was the way that Savage was bumping those last shoulder blocks. I mean, he took one, and I think most of them, he, like, flopped out of the ring, and then Ultimate Warrior had to go back and, like, throw him back in, hit him with another one, and he fell out the other side. That was certainly a great way to end it, too.
With Elizabeth, it was a tearjerker. It was just a great ending. They even phased out Sherry. You know, just the entire thing, the way it was laid out, I thought was one of their better jobs ever.
Yes, definitely, Harry. You're number four.
TLC 2 from WrestleMania 17, just because it was the first real high impact match of those sort of big ladder match bumps that I ever saw. Hmm.
No, I can certainly see the argument for that match. Omega, number four.
I'm going to go with the same one, TLC from WrestleMania 17. Crazy match all the way
Synergy.
Through.
Synergy, everybody.
Yeah, definitely. Now, number three for me, a lot of people call this their number one match of all time. I'm going with from WrestleMania 3, Intercontinental title match, the champion Randy Savage taking on Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Great match. And it was only a 12-minute match, but they put so much into that 12 minutes. All the near falls.
God, so good.
Yeah, very good match. Number three for you, Dan.
Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels ladder match number 10.
All right.
Again, you know, I said it earlier, I can't expound on that any further. It's a great match.
Definitely. Brady, number 3.
Rock Austin 2 from WrestleMania 17. It was the one where Austin actually turned, aligned with McMahon, and he must have hit the Rock with the chair like about 20 times.
20 times, yeah.
So and it started the power trip. Yeah, started the power trip that was very short-lived because of the injury. But that was going to be an amazing storyline if Triple H did not tear a quad.
I did not agree, and this is another topic for another show, obviously, but I did not agree with the way they made Austin just a baby, you know, like a chicken bleep heel, as they call them. You know, I thought that he would have been much better served to be a badass heel, but
oh, sure.
Whatever. But WrestleMania 10-7, that main event, definitely number 3 on my list.
Harry, number 3.
I can't remember which year it was from. I think one of you guys said it earlier on. Vince Hogan. Was it 21 or 19?
Brady's making fun of your accent again, Harry.
No, I said with Piper.
What does it matter what he makes fun of? He sounds like Mickey Mouse, so he can make fun of what he wants.
You too.
That's very true, he does. Wow, it's been
the room tonight. Just stop it, both of you.
Oh, how you so snatchy.
Okay, so that's your number 3. Omega Squad, your number 3.
I'm going to agree with you, Dean. I have, it's my number 3, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage from WrestleMania 3. Short and sweet, but, you know, fast and entertaining all the way through.
And even though there was outside interference with George Steele tossing him off the top rope, it still doesn't really destroy the quality of that match.
No,
not at all.
Now, my number 2, a little bit controversial, from WrestleMania 20, the main event. Chris Benoit.
Hey.
Shawn Michaels and Triple H, the triple threat for the World Heavyweight title.
That was a triple threat.
The story that was told of Chris Benoit, the 18-year journey to get there to main event. An amazing story. It's not funny, Dan.
It is a little
I still the title got vacated that night.
Yeah, right. Dan, you're number 2.
Savage Steamboat, WrestleMania 3.
Already talked about that. Brady, number 2.
Sorry. Hogan Andre. Just that Hogan Andre. That just, you know, if you were to picture.
Is it more for the importance than the actual match?
Well, you know what? It was an incredible match, too. I mean, if you think about it, the way Hogan was able to overcome the overpowering Andre the Giant like that, I mean, it told quite a story. And if you were to pick out one WrestleMania moment from all time, tell me it isn't that stare down between Hogan and Andre.
It's Hogan slamming Andre.
I like, actually, if you're talking stare downs, I like the stare down of Ultimate Warrior and Hogan.
Why, because he shakes violently?
Well, no, it was just a very good...
Fair enough. Hogan Andre for me, though.
No, I got you. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying for me it would be that moment. Because I was a huge, when I was growing up, I was a huge Ultimate Warrior fan. And that was like the crowning moment for the Ultimate Warrior. Now, Harry, number 2.
Ric Flair against Shawn Michaels, the Ric Flair retirement one.
From WrestleMania 24. That's a good one. Omega, number 2.
Dean, I'm going to agree with you again. Chris Benoit versus Triple H versus HBK at WrestleMania 20, the main event.
Story told, but go ahead. You have something to say.
Story told, the match was fantastic. The image at the end of Chris Benoit with Eddie Guerrero. An amazing moment.
Jesus.
Sadly ruined forever now, but I lived that moment for you know, at least the 3 or 4 years that I could.
Question.
That was fantastic.
Question.
Sure.
Does that ever make a video again?
No.
Mm-mm.
Never. Not like in 20 years.
No.
Ugh.
No, not at all.
Well, I'm glad I have it.
Now, number one for me is Harry's number two. It's Ric Flair against Shawn Michaels. WrestleMania 24, the retirement match that didn't stand too long, but still a great emotional match. Flair, of course, doing the job, picking his friend Shawn Michaels to do it. And just one of those series of matches with Shawn Michaels during that time. So that's who I have for number one. Brady, your number one match in WrestleMania.
Hogan versus The Rock from WrestleMania 18.
Wow, really?
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It was such a... I don't think there's ever been a match, either before that or after that, that had the same kind of emotion that that match did. I mean, Hogan making his return to the company after 9 years, he goes in, he's supposed to be the leader of the NWO in WWE, and he goes in there, and the fans essentially, clamoring for nostalgia, basically turn him back into the Hulk Hogan that we all knew and loved in the 80s. And not only did they try to do it, but WWE listened. Like, they actually adjusted on the fly. They thought there was a possibility that they would happen, and they had Hogan and Rock act accordingly when the fans turned on The Rock. It was incredible. They had the stare down, just like, you know, those classic stare downs that you remember. And, you know, they went back and forth. And at the end of the match, the younger guy won, which is really what should happen. I loved it. I loved the whole match.
It is a very good match, and it is a moment in time, that's for sure. I just didn't think that it would be a top five, but you have it number one. That's gutsy. But
that was a slam dunk for me.
Harry, your number one match in WrestleMania history.
Well, as much as I want to say a man against Charmel and Booker T, I'm going to go with The Rock against Stone Cold from WrestleMania 17.
Okay. No, I can see where that, because that was another moment in time. Of course, Austin, during the height of his popularity, turning heel, joining the Power Trip. Certainly, I can see that.
That had a name?
Yeah, the Power Trip.
I didn't remember that.
The two-man Power Trip.
Yeah, I didn't remember that.
Yeah, and Omega, your number one.
My number one is Shawn Michaels versus Undertaker 1 from WrestleMania 25. Just thought it was two of the best performers in WrestleMania history of all time at the top of their game, putting together a great story and an emotional story all the way through.
Yeah, yeah, it really was. So I can definitely see that as well as being a big thing. Number one match in WrestleMania history. So everybody.
You skipped me.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh. What's your number one, Dan?
I'm nervous to say this one, but Owen Hart versus Bret Hart, WrestleMania 10.
Historically, I don't see where it would rank, but it is one of the best technical matches in WrestleMania history, to be sure.
I still love watching those two, and maybe it's more because Owen is dead, has passed away. Maybe it's more because of that, but I still love watching those two. I mean, they probably knew each other better than most, you know what I mean?
Oh, definitely.
And just to watch those two do that, I think it's my favorite WrestleMania match. I will go to that first. And that's a match a lot of the times that I used to use. When I was like, you don't watch wrestling? You gotta see this. These two guys hate each other. They're brothers.
Yeah.
Watch this, you know, and that's my number one. It's an incredible match.
It is an incredible match, but like I said, impact and everything, I think it kind of got lost through the time.
Well, I mean, no impact because, you know, Bret Hart goes on to win the title later that night. I mean.
Now, Dan, does it bother you that Owen Hart's, like, WrestleMania moment basically was him with, like, a loogie on his face?
No, it doesn't bother me, no.
Oh, when he did that interview after, yeah.
But there's moments where I'm watching it going, does he know? Will somebody please wipe his face?
Yeah. couldn't Todd Pettengill, like, say,
Todd's a-hole, because he's looking at his head going, you know, I'm not going to say a word. I'm going
to
leave it on.
He had to see it. That's all I'm saying. He had to see it.
He had to see it. It was this big white... stained-looking thing in the corner of his mouth.
Yeah, he had to see it. He definitely did. So that's our top matches of WrestleMania. Of course, WrestleMania weekend is also home to WrestleCon. Brady, you and I will be there for New Moon Rising Wrestling. It's going to be a packed weekend, really. Now, it starts Friday. It's going to start out with Evolve Presents Some Live Wrestling. That's at 4 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, CZW will be, we'll have center ring, so to say. And Joe Gacy, Matt Tremont, their first ever meeting. There's going to be the Crazy Monkey taking on Masada, Drake Younger and Danny Havoc. There's going to be just a lot of stuff going on there, Brady. And, of course, at midnight, there's a special show that I think you can tell us a little bit more about.
Kaiju Big Battle?
Yes, a big special show. Now, for those that don't know, what is the story behind Big Battle? Brady?
Brady, are you dead?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got distracted there. I don't really know the story, per se. I just know that
well,
there are all sorts of entertaining characters.
Beautiful build-up and, like, the biggest letdown ever on the show.
No, we've had plenty more than that, but...
I mean, it's supposed to be the backdrop of, like, monsters battling one another for supremacy, and it certainly does live up. You know, the last time I was at a Kaiju Big Battle show, they actually brought out cardboard boxes that resembled skyscrapers and set them up all around the ring, so it looked like these monsters were battling in a giant city and destroying everything, like that video game Rampage for NES.
Yeah.
So it was incredible.
Are you outside?
It was. I am outside right now. Yeah,
outside.
my housemate just went to bed. I felt bad. I was being a little bit loud. So
tell JV Mail I said hi, Brady. But that's an interesting thing, and that's going to go on at midnight now.
So wait a minute. What is it? So these people dress up as monsters and wrestle?
No, they're real monsters. They've been created in the lab. And they battle in a wrestling ring for supremacy. Now, the next day, action starts at 9 o'clock to 5. That's the Wrestle Expo. New Moon Rising Wrestling will be there. Tank Tolan is, of course, the headliner from noon until 2 on that day. We're going to be doing a show from the floor. Hopefully we can get some people to stop by because there's going to be a lot of people there. Hulk Hogan will be there. I doubt we'll get him.
That's amazing.
Maybe he'll stop by.
It's amazing that you got all these indie companies, not only indie companies, but you have major wrestling superstars and all these indie independent wrestling companies going in one building, putting on this convention. I mean, you don't see that anywhere. And any wrestling company who hasn't gotten involved in this or at least inquired about this, you're crazy.
I agree. It's good for exposure.
It's exposure, and it's good to look good, even if you're faking it, to be working with, you know, somebody you run against.
Well, you know what, Dan, as somebody who's been in and out of locker rooms, independents, and even TNA and WWE, like, I can tell you that when wrestlers call fans marks, wrestlers are the biggest marks of all. They're people that love the sport of wrestling so much that they wanted to be a part of it.
Right.
And they were willing to do anything to do that. And for that reason, that's why these kind of conventions with these exhibitions are so successful, because everybody just goes and checks out everybody and loves it because they're all fans.
And you're right, and it's up to the point where, you know what, yes, I'm a mark. Good for you. You used a mark. That's what I am. We're all marks. We're all fans of wrestling. It's the only, like, entertainment or sport that you get crapped on for being a fan of. Like, well, why do you want to play hockey? Because you watched hockey as a kid and you wanted to get into it. Why do you want to get into wrestling? Because you watched wrestling as a kid and you wanted to get into it. What's the difference?
No, I agree with the sentiment. But the next day, there's going to be the expo is from 9 to 5. Tank Tolan, like I said, is the headliner for New Moon Rising Wrestling. Bret Hart has HighSpots.com is presenting Bret Hart. There's WrestleFest tickets. Shimmer is going to be doing a show from noon until 2:30.
Shimmer's doing a show there?
Yeah.
They're opposite Tank Tolan, though, so I am a little disappointed there.
Well, Tank loses on that one.
Chikara is also doing a show from 4 to 6:30. That is one of the big matches there is Amasis, the Warrior of God. He will be taking on Ophidian, a year in the making. 8 o'clock to 10:30 will be Dragon Gate USA, and at midnight it will be Colt Cabana presenting $5 Wrestling. Now, Dan, I think you would like $5 Wrestling because it's kind of a spinoff of what's that show you like? Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, no kidding! Are they riffing on a match?
Yeah, they're riffing on classic wrestling matches. And
is that what it is?
Yeah,
is that really what it is?
Yeah, that's what that is.
I just hear that. That's
awesome.
Great. I
cannot believe. And this is coming. This is true, folks. If you are listening to this right now, and you're getting information on WrestleCon for the first time, get there. From somebody who's not going to make it, you're going to be kicking yourself in the ass for not going.
The next day, the fun continues. The Wrestle Expo will be from 9 to 2. Ultimate Warrior will have his thing going on from 9 to 1. Bret Hart again. And from 1 to 2:30, Dragon Gate will have another show. So plenty of wrestling will be going on. Of course, PWS tomorrow night will be having a super card, and they're going to be competing against CZW.
That's crazy.
Dean, a couple things. I'm sorry. First of all, did you mention when Hulk Hogan was going to be on for the convention?
I didn't. I can find out real quick for you.
Because I think that would be of interest. Second of all, it's also worth mentioning that WWE, it's a little company that runs mostly out of Connecticut. they're going to have a few events within 10 miles of that entire venue. They're going to have access events scheduled throughout Saturday and Sunday. Actually, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They have a super card. They're calling it. It's Wrestlepalooza, something like that.
Something like that.
And so that's Sunday night.
Wrestle Slam or Slammania or Slammery.
Something like that.
Sounds like a
yeah.
low budget rinky dink operation.
Now Hulk Hogan.
Slammiversary or something like that. I forget.
Hulk Hogan, to get to your point, will be appearing as a guest of Legends of the Ring, and it will be Saturday in two sessions, 10 a.m. and 1 p.m.
On behalf of Newman Rising, right?
No, not at all.
We're going to take him out, brother. Let's
now,
take him out.
Just knock him out and put him in the back of the van.
It's going to cost $200.
Let me tell you, brother.
Now, what that $200 will get you, it's a VIP meet and greet. You get one Hogan autograph and one photo op. Or you could get two Hulk Hogan autographs. Yeah.
For $200, I want to book a match against him myself.
Well, just punch him
in the
back.
And I want creative control.
That would never happen with Hogan.
Or lay down and Bash of the Beach 2000.
Now, here's some of the people that are appearing. I'll go over New Moon's schedule, but here's some people that are appearing at WrestleCon. Hulk Hogan, Kurt Angle, Bret Hart, Ultimate Warrior, Juice and Thunder Liger, Rob Van Dam, Kevin Nash, Lex Luger, Jimmy Snuka, George Steele, Maria, Amy Dumois, Bobby Heenan will be there.
Bobby!
Mickey James, Eugene, Mighty Molly will be in attendance. Tommy Dreamer, Tino Santana.
Who's playing with themselves on the mic? Seriously.
Paul Orndorff, One Man Gang, Warlord, Johnny Valiant.
Stop.
Phoenix.
Stop.
Okay, Dan. Got it. Barry Horowitz will be there. Demolition, Kelly Kelly, Ken Patera, Fuji.
Fuji?
The list goes on. Yeah, the list goes on and on. The Steiner
American
Brothers.
Roughneck.
Yeah. The Steiner Brothers will be there. Jake the Snake, DDP. Tons of.
Will they be wheeling Scott Hall around?
No. No. Scott Hall will be staying at wherever he is. Now.
No doubt Scott Hall is staying at home, staying clean by himself.
Oh yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, guys, just go. I'll be fine when you come back in 2 days, dead.
Now, the appearance schedule for New Moon Rising Wrestling. Saturday from 9 to 10 will be Justin America. 10 to 11, the American Fat Neck. From 11 to noon, Mark Angel with the Fat Mouth, Slim Burgundy. From 12 until 2, we got Tank Tolan. 2 to 3, this is an interesting booking. Steve Zaff will be there. And from 3 until 5, O-Dog and Sienna Duvall. Sunday, Damian Adams, the Master Illusionist, with yours truly, Larry Lawson, will be there 9
to 10.
I love
Larry Lawson.
I know you do. From 10 You're to done. 11, LJ Cruz. 11 to 12, Crazy Ivan.
Whoa, they're letting him in a place with that many people?
I don't know. I don't know. I hope someone's there. And from 12 until 2...
I'm so tight.
From 12 until 2, X-Dog, Jake Bishop, recently released from the hospital after a vicious assault from Justin America, will be there.
Justin didn't really, you know... Never mind.
So, we have all that. Pictures, DVDs, T-shirts, much more.
Listen, I heard Hulk Hogan's charging $200, but I heard Roughneck's charging like $400.
No, Roughneck's giving away pictures because he is such a businessman.
I saw that earlier. So it's smart. You can have this.
No,
picture of me.
The thing that irritates me about that, it just doesn't make sense because there's going to be stuff for sale. And then you have a pile of Roughneck crap that nobody wants.
Come on, you want this picture? It's awesome.
I made it myself.
I made it myself. I drew it with a marker.
I made it myself on Microsoft Paint.
I made this paint, and then I just ironed it on.
The hell is wrong with this guy? And it's like, I'm like, Roughneck, we're
Come
selling
on,
stuff.
Robert.
We're selling stuff, Roughneck. The idea is,
will there be Hell in the Cell stickers there?
Yeah, they're going to be giveaways.
Don't, what? You better not give those away.
I'm giving them away.
No!
Yeah, I'm giving them
you
away.
You better be joking.
No, give them away.
Save one for me. I need one for the cover.
I'm not giving them all away, Dan. I'm going to have a pile there. Hopefully they go on Saturday and people will put them on their cars. More exposure.
This is free!
Exactly. Exactly. No, I'm keeping like 50, you know, to actually sell.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a dummy. I'm not
No, you're not a dummy like Roughneck. I'm going to, you know, make 1,000 and lose a prop.
He had to print these out. There had to be some type of cost behind this.
Well,
he
broke into Staples, and he has no connections there.
I swear to God, it just makes no sense to me. And he's like proud of it.
Usually I would back him up, but I can't back him up on this one.
It's for the people. What are you talking about, Roughneck?
It's for the people. It's not for my bank account, but it's for the people.
You're proving
that's
everything.
That's my new favorite impression. That's my new favorite impression.
That one, the Roughneck one?
Oh, it just makes
no sense.
The Roughneck
one, yeah.
Hey!
I made it in paint!
Roughneck!
I stayed up 2 hours extra making this.
Look, I made the background all by myself from scratch.
Not funny. But the American Roughneck will be there with his free pictures to give out to whoever's willing to take them.
I paid it that long.
He's going to be like tackling people as they walk by.
Hey, you want my picture? Who are you? Hey, my picture!
You're the American what? I'm just going to be called him a fat neck the whole time.
American fat neck. I saw my name, Gene. I swear to God.
Where's your tasty Claire?
Where's your? I'm going to stick my food in your, my finger in your food for the 8th time. It was funny the first time. It's still funny, right, Dan?
I just love this segment for Harry's cackling.
I know, that's
the only reason it's still going.
Yeah.
So we have WrestleMania, WrestleCon. Now tickets to get into WrestleCon each day, $20.
That better make air.
Oh, it will. And that's up at in Secaucus, in New Jersey, and
Secaucus.
the Meadowlands Exposition Center. So get there early, get your tickets, come and see Hell in a Cell Talk Radio as they team up with In the Room to present a very special podcast directly from the floor. That is, if there's enough plugs.
I was going to say, have we figured this out yet? Because keep me updated, because I'll be calling from the mountains.
Don Warren, behind the scenes. Don Warren.
In my experience, if Don Warren says that he'll do something...
he's going to be walking over to the Hulk Hogan booth going, can I borrow your extension cord?
No, but Don Warren, he says that he's getting...
You have an RJ5?
And the electric costs an undisclosed sum of money. But he said there's only 4 spots on there. And I'm like, well, I mean, we kind of need some electric. Why are you going to pay this much money for electric, but you're only allotted 4 outlets? I don't know.
Your own extension cord, man.
Well, that's what I said. But then he was talking about fire codes. As if having...
Fire codes. Put it under
because
the table.
I'll tell you why. Because... if you're not paying for electric, then you're probably getting a table in the middle of the floor without a wall behind you.
Well, I know that. Yeah, no, I get that.
Okay, and if you're paying for electric, then you have 1 outlet, which probably has 4 sets.
Hey, God, yeah, do what I do. Drill a hole through the wall.
That's what Brady did, yes. I love that.
It's totally symmetrical circle.
It was. It was just once we rammed everything through it, it kind of...
Like, asymmetrical.
That's your ADD talking, Dan, I tell you. It's all the way at the bottom. Nobody sees it except
hey,
for...
Hey, Dean, your sign's not straight!
Oh, Dan, you made me cry at 4 a.m. How could you?
I'm like that with men.
A couple things of note about this convention, about WrestleCon with New Moon.
Please,
first of all, I saw that Master Official Anthony Gigante, he was hard at work printing up massive banners of all of our posters. So we're going to have those. So you
and we're
going to
give
them
away
out.
Are we going to give away for free?
No.
I can only imagine. Okay. The other thing is that we will have DVDs and hats and T-shirts, and all the cool things that Dean and I can't get because we work there, on sale for the fans to wear or watch.
I swear to God, I'm burning DVDs as soon as I get there.
I've been asking for a copy of the DVD for a month and a half, and I can't get them. I filmed the damn thing.
I called the action. I still haven't heard it.
I
have people coming up to me and saying, you know, you should do this and this and this. And I said, I don't know. I can't get a damn copy. to find
well,
out what I have to work on.
We're going to be ripping and burning as soon as we get there.
We are, dude.
Ripping and burning.
My name's on the DVD and I can't get one.
Good
beautiful. Day. Thank you.
Weren't we promised hats, Brady?
I said I was
in October,
like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I think it was September. And it was actually Fat Neck who told me. He says, "Don't worry, I'll get it embroidered with your name."
I'll get a hat with your name sewn on it.
I'm going out. I'm getting my own hat. I'm getting my own poster to hang in the party room with my picture that I can autograph.
And I'm going to give them away.
I'm going to give them away.
Yeah, definitely. So, WrestleMania.
You have WrestleCon.
Yeah, you have WrestleCon coming up all this weekend. Of course, you have WWE Access going on. Hall of Fame, of course, Saturday night. We didn't even touch upon it. We'll talk about it next week, though. Mick Foley, of course, was pushed out of the TV spot in favor of Donald Trump. But we'll talk about that outrage that fans certainly have. But, of course, check out the pay-per-view. That comes on Sunday night, from 7 until 11. It's going to be great. Awesome. I can't wait. Do we have any other closing words from our esteemed panel of guests?
Okay, take that as a no. Move on.
Yes. Brady, where can the fine people find you, Brady?
Well, you can check me out in addition to the fine pages of Pro Wrestling Illustrated. You can also find me on thebradyhicks.com, where I do In the Room each and every Tuesday night, 9:30, 8:30 Central, 2 hours, talking wrestling, taking your calls. Check
and
it out.
And so much more.
That's right, so
and
much
I also
more.
Hear Dimple Date's coming back soon, but I have no idea when.
Joy, sign me up.
Now, Harry, where can the fine people find you, Harry?
Well, not only on Brady Hicks's fine website, but over at whatswrongwithwrestling.podomatic.com, on Facebook, What's Wrong With Wrestling's page. You can search it in the search bar. And the Death of Pro Wrestling, or what did I call it? Pro Wrestling Dead or Alive documentary that I'll be coming out with. And on Twitter, at Instant Classic H.
All right. So
hey,
that sounds good.
Dean, can we get him to do all our voiceovers? It just sounds so much better in English.
Omega, where can the fine people find you?
That was serious, but that's fine.
The people can find me on Twitter at Omega Squad.
Dan, how about yourself?
You can find me on Twitter at DanLaw86.
I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. Now, until next week, well, actually, until Saturday, we'll be at WrestleCon.
Oh, yeah.
At the table with Tank Toland. I wonder how that's going to go down.
Don't. Just stay away from
But we'll be at WrestleCon, a very special podcast in the room. Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We'll be teaming up once again to bring you a very special edition of the podcast. We'll return next week with DJ Hyde from CZW, and we're going to talk about the most prestigious tournament in all of independent wrestling, and that is the best of the best. So until next
week. It sounds super.
Sounds super, yeah.
Best of the best, the only tournament happening, in my mind, on April 13th.
It sounds super.
Yeah.
But poor Brady Hicks.
Hold on.
Poor.
Do you think they ate that up?
Say it three more times, and you say it eight times.
So, for Dan Law,
Super.
For Omega Squad, for Brady Hicks, for Super. Harry Barnett of What's Wrong With Wrestling.
The great Harry Barnett.
That's right.
The great Harry Barnett.
We'll see you next week with DJ Hyde, and that should be wow.
The movie will begin in 5 moments. The mindless voice announced. All those unseated will await the next show. We filed slowly, languidly into the hall. The auditorium was vast and silent. As we seated and were darkened, the voice continued. The program for this evening is not new. You have seen this entertainment through and through. You've seen your birth, your life, and death. You might recall all of the rest. Did you have a good world when you died? Enough to base a movie on?